Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Today we are looking at lessons from the deserts of 1 Samuel chapter 23 and 24. We're continuing our look at the main characters in the book of Samuel. Today we're looking at David in the deserts. So if you haven't looked at them recently, I'd suggest you take a quick look at 1 Samuel chapters 23 and 24. This morning, for our call to worship, I've chosen Psalm 5, verses 7 and 8. Because of your great mercy, I come to your house, Lord, and I am filled with wonder as I bow down to worship at your holy temple. You do what is right, and I ask you to guide me. Make your teachings clear because of my enemies. Amen. Now, the last we saw of David, the whole country was celebrating that God had defeated the Philistine Goliath and his army using a young shepherd and his sling. David continued to be used of God to win difficult battles against the better armed Philistines. Can you think of a time in your own life when God was clearly helping you? David was showing his countrymen what he had experienced while he was with his sheep. That the Lord is the all-powerful God who guides and protects those who put their full trust in Him. Now, after God enabled David to defeat Goliath, David's popularity grew, but so did Saul's jealousy of David. Saul felt that only he, as king, should be the people's hero, and he sees David as a threat to his reign. Soon, David finds himself wanted by Saul as a criminal. Most of the country is now afraid to have anything to do with David because of Saul's intense anger and his many spies. David's life has been thrown into confusion. He has done nothing wrong. What has happened? We will see that the Lord is taking David through the desert, a time where David will learn lessons about himself and God that only come through these times of testing. These are lessons that we too will need to learn in order to grow more like our Lord Jesus in our character. Let's look at some of these lessons as we join David in the deserts of 1 Samuel chapters 23 and 24. First of all, the desert of Ziph, found in chapter 23, we'll look specifically at verses 14 to 20. And we'll see in the desert of Ziph, David learned to depend upon God's strength. First of all, let's look at David's situation. Chapter 23 begins with David being directed by God to save the town of Keilah. And Keilah was a little distance away from where David was, but it was being raided by Philistines who were taking the harvest. This was a dangerous mission, but the Lord gave David and his men success. Now, one would assume that David would be appreciated for his bravery. However, King Saul makes plans to surround Keilah and capture David. When David asks the Lord, he's told that the people would surrender him to Saul. So he's forced to leave, hoping to find safety in the desert of Ziph. Verse 14 tells us that Saul was relentless as he searched for David and his men day after day. Can you imagine how frustrating this must have been for David and his men? After all, they had done the king of Israel's job by saving the town from Philistine raiders. What a discouraging time it must have been. Now, how do you feel when you're innocent, but you are falsely accused, and many then assume that you are guilty? It's both frustrating and emotionally tiring. Yet we see that David and his 600 men have no time to sit and mope. They must constantly be on the move, trying to stay hidden from Saul and his troops. We also see that it is during this time of discouragement in the desert of Ziph that the Lord sent Jonathan to David to encourage and help him find strength in God. Jonathan can't change Saul's mind, but he reminds David of God's promises to him. And Jonathan pledges his allegiance to David as the next king. Now remember, Jonathan is Saul's son. Jonathan is heir to the throne. This is incredible support that he is giving David. Now, what do we learn about God? Well, we clearly see that God knows what each of us needs to learn through trials and what each of us can handle. David faces the harsh ugliness of Saul's jealousy, and it causes him to flee for his life. But God doesn't allow Saul to lay hold of David. The Lord sends Jonathan to remind David that God's plan for him will ultimately succeed. So he is not to lose hope, but to keep relying on God's strength. We see that God does not leave us to struggle on our own, but always has a way of reminding us that he is still with us in the midst of the trial. Now, what is an application for us? Well, in those times when life seems unfair and spinning out of control, we need to learn to depend upon God's strength. We do this by getting our encouragement from the Lord through his word or his people. Jonathan reminded David of God's faithfulness and his promises to David. We need to claim the promises of God's presence and protection from his word, rather than only focusing on our current problem. Here's some passages of scripture that come to mind. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And a Psalm of David, Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And finally, Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Do not let fear overwhelm or paralyze you and keep you from going to God. Find the source of your fear and give it over to God. Claim God's promises of protection and then commit your life to him in order to grow in your trust and love for him. Now, the second desert that David flees to is the desert of Maon, and this is in the second half of chapter 23, verses 19 to 28, and we see that David learned to trust God and his timing. First of all, let's look at David's situation. We see that King Saul is told by residents of Ziph that David is hiding in their area. Saul is delighted and asks them to uncover David's hiding places, to spy for him. Saul arrives and then sets out a trap for David, and he was closing in on him. We're told Saul and his army were on one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away and stay out of sight. Now, just as it seemed that David would be caught, Saul took his men and left. What happened? We see that God changed Saul's plans. The king received the message that the Philistines were raiding the country, and he had to stop chasing David and go and stop the Philistines. In this desert situation, David had run out of options. His skill could only get him so far, but then God stepped in. What do we learn about God? We see that God allows David to exhaust all his evasive techniques and tactics and realize that he is going to get caught unless God does something, and God does. It seems God allows this to happen to us in order for us to learn to rely on him. We don't know as much as we like to think we do. God works in ways far beyond what we can imagine. In the desert of Maon, David learned to trust God and his timing. Now, what's the application for us? Well, I think it's good for us to remember we will all have our desert of Maon. That is, times when we run out of ideas and we have nowhere left to turn. We may begin to ask ourselves, where is God? Does he have any idea how desperate my situation is? Does he care? Now, I can't speak for you, but for me, this is a time for me to wake up and learn to stop relying on my own resources. I've only made things more difficult for myself by not fully trusting in God's timing, resources, and care in the first place. It's one thing to say, I trust God. It's another thing to do it when the pressure is on. Truthfully, this is when it really matters. It must be my actions and not just my words that show my obedience to God. We need to trust God that His timing is best. Do you find yourself in a desert of Maon right now? Do you need to learn to trust God and His timing in your life? For many of us, this COVID-19 virus is trying our patience and our frustration is building. Could it be that God wants to use this time to teach us something personally and corporately as a church family? I think the answer is definitely, because God never misses an opportunity to refine us for the better. Perhaps God wants to teach you to draw your peace and purpose from Him and not other people or activities. Perhaps the Lord wants you to learn to enjoy time with Him, growing through time in His Word. Perhaps the Lord wants to teach us the importance of being the church through our care for others rather than just us going to church. What is the Lord trying to teach you? Are you willing to learn? Now, the third desert is a desert of En Gedi, and we see this in chapter 24, verses 1 to 22. It's the whole chapter. David learns to depend upon doing things God's way. Let's look at David's situation. David is again in hiding, and this time 3,000 elite hand-picked troops are looking for him. As soon as Saul finished dealing with the Philistine threat, he's back again trying to kill David. Yet we see in chapter 24 the tables are now turned, and it is Saul who is vulnerable. Saul has gone alone into the very cave that David is hiding in, unknowingly, of course. And while he's in there, David's men are whispering to David, "Get him! Kill him! Obviously, God has given you this opportunity to end this misery for all of us." That's essentially what they're saying. We see that David is tempted because he sneaks over undetected by Saul and he cuts a piece off Saul's robe. But then David is convicted that he's wrong. David has come to realize that this was not an opportunity for him, but a test of his character. It seems he asks himself the question, is this how I want to become king? Is this how I want to become king, by killing Saul? And David decides that if God wants him to be king, then God is going to have to make it happen. God is going to have to remove Saul from the throne. I am not going to do it through murdering him. We hear part of what he said to King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 11 to 13. David says to Saul, "See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut it off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you've done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you." That's the word of the Lord. What do we learn about God? Well, I think we learn that we better not presume to know God's plans without checking with Him. God is testing David's heart, checking his motives and his willingness to stand up to pressure from others. When we see an open door that offers us a way of escape that seems out of character with God, you can be sure that God did not open that door. It is not a door to freedom. It's a door to a cell called sin. The Bible makes it clear, God does not tempt us to sin. James chapter 1, verse 13. Now, what is an application for us? The desert of En Gedi reminds us that God is sovereign and we need to learn to trust His way of doing things by following His timing and His ways. David faced a temptation that we often face, the temptation of taking a shortcut. However, there are no shortcuts to obeying God's will. You either obey His will or you don't. Jesus showed us this as He faced the devil's temptation to act outside of God's plan by trusting God's word instead of listening to the devil. That was in Matthew 4, 1-11. Continue being faithful day by day, learning in the process that God's ways are best. Am I willing to do this? To trust God and not take matters into my own hands? Trust that God's ways are best, that He knows what He's doing, and then learn to depend upon Him? Let me ask you, are you learning through your desert times? I found that if I don't learn and apply the lessons the first time, the Lord will have me take that class again until I get it. So now I try to pay more careful attention. Those times when things seem out of your control, remind yourself and affirm that God is in control of your life. You know that He hasn't forgotten you, so don't act like He has. Remember, stay away from the shortcuts and do things God's way. Amen. I've chosen a benediction from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "May the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and in His grace gave us unfailing courage and a firm hope, may He encourage you and strengthen you to always do and say what is good." Amen.